Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and everybody ought to praise the Lord. This is your radio host, a Lift High the Cross radio broadcast, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio, Apostle W.D. Carter. Today we're going to continue in the message of the Harlot Church System. Praise the Lord. I would ask you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11, and then Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. We're going to begin to read there. Today we're going to talk about the deep things of Satan, and we want to make you aware, the Spirit of God wants to make you aware of what's literally taking place in your life in the harlot church system. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Verse 10 of chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Please turn to Revelation chapter 2, and let's begin at verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy work, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depth of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It is very important for you as a believer to understand the warfare that is being waged against you in the harlot church system. The seven churches that are spoken of in the book of Revelation actually speak to not only the historicity of the church, praise the Lord, but it also speaks to the seven characters of the church. And in Thyatira, the church in Thyatira, praise the Lord, the spirit of Jezebel operated unabashedly and unashamedly in the midst of the called out ones. Jesus began his message through John to the called out ones in Thyatira by recognizing their works, love, service, faith, patience, and that their last words were more than the first. Then he said he was against them for tolerating that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess. Stop right there. Praise the Lord. The woman Jezebel in the church at Thyatira called herself a prophetess. This is indicative of the fact that she was not literally a prophetess, but that she was operating in a counterfeit spirit, the counterfeit spirit of witchcraft. And that same spirit is operating in the harlot church system. That same spirit is operating among the called out ones today. The spirit of Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She taught and seduced his servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Jesus had given her time to repent, but she did not. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus has given Jezebel time to repent, but she did not. But when you look at the back at Kings in the Old Testament, Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, was relentless. She was so relentless, praise the Lord, that the Lord had to lose a man who rode furiously on his horse called Jehu to destroy her, to actually ride upon her and tear her whole body to pieces and turn her, literally turn her into dog food. Remember, the dogs ate her body, the pieces of her body, okay, at the wall of Jezreel. Remember that? Well, that indicates that this spirit is relentless, and the person through whom this spirit is operating is also relentless. The spirit of Jezebel can also operate through men. So please, those ladies of you who are listening to this broadcast, please do not accuse me of just singling out women. It just so happens, praise the Lord, that at that particular time, a woman was in operation. And many women today are operating in the harlot church system under the spirit of Jezebel, who refer to themselves as prophetess. She taught and seduced his servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Jesus had even given her time to repent, but she did not. Consequently, he said he would cast her into a sick bed and would cast those who committed adultery with her into great tribulation. That is, unless they repented of their deeds. Moreover, Jesus said he would kill Jezebel's children with death, so that all of the called out ones would know that he is the one who searches the inner hearts of men and gives to everyone according to their works. Jezebel's spiritual children are those who follow her in deception and idolatry. Jesus made a distinction here between Jezebel's children and his called out ones. Then Jesus said he would put no other burden upon the rest of them in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, this teaching, and who have not known the deep things of Satan. That there were those in the assembly of called out ones in Thyatira who did not know the deep things of Satan suggests that there were those in the assembly who did know. These are those who allowed themselves to be seduced by Jezebel, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Excuse me. Jezebel was in the assembly of called out ones in Thyatira and had followers. She was teaching things that Jesus called the deep things of Satan. Nothing could be clearer. If these things we call church are idolatrous extensions of self-worship, flesh, then those who rule over them practice witchcraft and are under the control of spirits of witchcraft, and if under witchcraft, then they too are involved in the deep things of Satan. Now, you need to know how witchcraft is practiced. There is ritualistic witchcraft, which involves performing certain rituals and drinking certain brews and that kind of thing. But then there is practical witchcraft. And practical witchcraft is actually operated through what we call, through a social science called psychology. There are those of us in the Harlot Church system who actually go to school to study psychology and learn how to manipulate and control other people, undermine control. Glory be to God. And there are those of us, the called out ones, the genuine ones, those who really love the Lord Jesus Christ, who end up becoming victims of that because we do not have our senses exercised to the extent that we are able to discern good and evil. We just go along with the Harlot Church System's programs. But what you've got to do in order to get out from under the spirit is you've got to get into the Word of God for yourself. And believe me, praise the Lord, God will give you, the Lord Jesus Christ via His Holy Spirit will give you revelatory knowledge that will set you free from the influence of the spirit of Jezebel over your life. The synagogue of Satan. When Jesus charged John to write the assemblies in Smyrna and Philadelphia, he mentioned those who blasphemed by calling themselves Jews, whom Jesus clarified were not Jews, but were the synagogue of Satan. Revelations 2, 8, 9, 3, 7, and 9. Jesus could have been referring to some Judaizers who might have penetrated the works of the believers there, but it is more likely that he was referring to unconverted Jews who slandered the believers in these cities. Jesus said that those who falsely called themselves Jews were the synagogue of Satan. Just as believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit, they were the synagogue gathering place of Satan, not their buildings, beliefs, or activities. He said that they blasphemed by calling themselves Jews. Now, you need to know that the appellation Jew, J-E-W, or Jewish, J-E-W-I-S-H, does not refer to a people's nationality. Let's understand that. The term, when you refer to those who call themselves Jews, you're not speaking of them in terms of their nationality, in terms of the country that they come from. No, you're speaking of them in terms of their spirituality, and it's very important that you understand that particular concept, because they refer to themselves as Jews, we refer to them as Jews, we see them in their cultural or traditional garb, then they are Jewish, as well, or we go by their last names, okay, and we refer to them as Jewish, but being Jewish is not a reference to your nationality. Being Jewish is a reference to your spirituality. And the Bible says that he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Please turn your Bibles, I believe, to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Let me read this verse of scripture for you. Hallelujah. Where the text actually defines who a Jew is. Hallelujah. 3rd chapter. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let me see. Thank you, Lord. Could be wrong here. Chapter 2. Please forgive me. Romans chapter 2. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so Jewishness actually refers to spirituality and not nationality. It's important that you understand that. That means that anyone who met the prescribed criterion could become a Jew. Okay, which is exactly what happens under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone who capitulates to the message of the gospel becomes a Christian, because Christianity does not speak to nationality, it speaks to spirituality. And that's why it's so necessary for those of us who are born again, who have had the born again experience, that we be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Because if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Paul taught that the true Jews are followers of Jesus, For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's Romans, the second chapter in the 28th to 29th verses. They were synagogues of Satan because they opposed and persecuted the followers of Jesus. They had already determined in the synagogue that any man who confessed that Jesus was of Christ should be put out of the synagogue. John 9 and 22. So much stress was put on belonging to the synagogue that it was shameful to be put out of it. Guilt and shame were applied as a means of manipulating, controlling, dominating, and possessing the constituents of the synagogue, just as it is done in the churches today. It is a hard saying, but whoever allows the flesh to rule rather than the Holy Spirit, they too are the synagogue of Satan. The true pattern. Most everyone agrees that the church system from its inception after the first century AD has been patterned after the synagogue system of the Jewish religion. The word synagogue literally means a bringing together. It was the place the Jews gathered to read and explain the sacred scriptures and pray. But it became more than a gathering place. It became both a building and an institution, just as it is with church today. Some similarities between the synagogue and church systems are noted at the end of the chapter of this, the chapter with one personal comment. Excuse me. Some similarities between the synagogue and church systems are noted at the end of the chapter with personal comments. The Pharisees were an inseparable part of the synagogue system by the time of Jesus, and were distinguished by their legalism, their lust for power, position, recognition, and dominion, their stiff-necked attitudes, their self-righteousness and hypocrisy, their self-seeking lifestyle, and their murderous intentions. What are we to say of those clergy persons in present-day Christendom who are likewise legalistic, who lust for power, position, recognition, and dominance, who are stiff-necked, self-righteous, hypocritical, and self-seeking, and who have murderous intentions in their hearts? Might they be modern-day Pharisees in the churches? Make this connection with me. If the leaders of that thing you are in that you call church have the marks of the Pharisees, they are in the flesh and seeking something for themselves. They are the synagogue of Satan. If you participate in, share in, and have your fellowship with them in that idolatrous system, it is most likely because the system is in your heart as well. If that is the case, you are the synagogue of Satan with them. Satan has his synagogue, and Jesus has his assembly of called out ones. We are the called out ones for assembly into him. He formed a people. He is building his temple, and it is made up of lively, of living stones. We are to be joined only to him. Bill Shipman observes, quote, if we are joined, submitted, committed, or covenanted to anyone or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, we are committing spiritual adultery. And that's what the spirit of Jezebel does. The spirit of Jezebel seduces us to commit spiritual adultery, to commit spiritual fornication by idolizing things that are not of the Lord Jesus Christ, by idolizing self, by idolizing self-ambition. Praise the Lord. We come, many of us come into the harlot church system. We have never been saved, but we have acquired religion through our upbringing, and we come into that system with worldly and earthly ambitions. We're going to be this, and we're going to be that. And many of us who have the ability to sing and to play music, We come into the Holy Church system, and we will get on the choir, and we will become the musicians in the church, because we have a plan to become secular musicians and secular singers and secular stars in the world. And many of you know, who are listening to this broadcast right now, know that the things that I've just said are true. You are committing spiritual adultery. This is why it is so important that you not identify with denominationalism, but that you actually go and repent, that you actually have the supernatural experience of repentance and get saved now, player. Get saved and get filled with the Spirit of the living God so that you don't end up spending your time, your lifetime in the harlot church system and die in that system and ultimately end up in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. Much of what Jesus taught was in contradiction to what the Pharisees stood for. He figuratively pointed a finger at the Pharisees, declaring to his disciples, "See them? What they say and do is not it. Look at me. I am the way and the truth and the life." We have patterned that which we call church after the synagogue system of men. The true assembly of called out ones can never be patterned after a thing. The bride of Christ can never be defined by systems, institutions, buildings, governmental orders, programs, formulas, creeds, doctrines, rituals, and litanies. The assembly of called out ones is a people who are patterned after the person Jesus Christ. He alone is the governor and the government of the kingdom of God. Read Isaiah 9 and 6. Please turn your Bible to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 28. Hallelujah. And 29. And we know that all things work together for the good, to them that love God, to them that, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's why you can't be connected to any kind of system, to any kind of institution, buildings, governments, programs, formulas, creeds, doctrines, rituals, and litanies. You can't be a part of that because you are the assembly of called out ones, of people who are patterned after the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. When it comes to this thing we call church, in most cases, Satan has positioned himself and his throne in the middle of it. We must see that his deception is so great that we do not even know we may be serving him amidst our service to Christ. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. He is a false light who is full of deception and deep darkness. This thing we call church veils the eyes of those who remain a party to it. People are so deceived by this darkness that they have innocently become the dispensers of it. Church, in all of its darkness, is the counterfeit harlot to the true bride. The harlot church system springs forth from those who have spiritual Babylon in their hearts. This Babylon is the great whore that sits on many waters. Many waters includes all people of all nations in all denominations and non-denominational churches who practice the harlotry of church. The harlot church system is a worldwide system, and it captures every heart that has spiritual Babylon in it. Hallelujah. The harlot church system cannot be fixed Please understand that. You cannot remain in the Harlot Church system to change it. You will never change the system. But the system has an ability to change you if you don't come out of it. It is flesh, and all flesh is under the domain of Satan. God's people, we who are called by his name and who do not allow ourselves to be called by any other name, must come out of Babylon. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, joined to him only, baptized into his death and raised in his resurrection. We are immersed in and led by his Holy Spirit. He alone is the Lord of our lives. We are submitted one to another in the spirit of humility and love. God is looking for a people, not a place. His building program is made up of living stones, not concrete blocks, lumber, and nails. He is looking for and raising up a people of faith, not some theological meeting to come up with a statement of faith. He is not starting a new nonprofit organization. He is bringing to life a living organism with true apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and with everyone in the body a minister. He is not looking for a people known by their doctrine, pastor's name, location, but is raising up a people known by their love for him and for one another. He is not looking for a people bound by tradition, but is raising up a people free in Jesus and being led by his Holy Spirit. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside of the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Hallelujah. This is our problem. We don't want to go outside the camp. We don't really want to deny the first law of human nature, which is self-preservation. Because, praise the Lord, even though we are born again, we default to operating in the flesh. Glory be to God. And that is our major problem. You have got to get out of the flesh. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to practice denying yourself. So what? How do you do that? Many of you might ask, well, how do I deny myself? You deny, okay, your natural impulses to commit sin. Well, how do you commit sin? You commit sin when you are operating in disobedience to the word of God. Praise the Lord. And if you don't know the word of God, if you have refused to read and study your Bible, then you become a willful practitioner of sin. Just like everyone, praise the Lord, who has rejected the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, once they've heard it, you become a willful practitioner of sin. The instruction to the believer, to the true people of God, to the called out ones, is to come out of that thing that we call church. Come out of it. Come out of the harlot church system and have nothing to do with it. Glory be to God. And fear not, for the Spirit of the living God will lead you into what he wants you to do. Praise God. But you must capitulate to the biblical instruction to come out of her. Glory be to his matchless name. I've come to the end of our time today, but I want to thank God for each and every one of you. And those of you who are the authentic people of God, I ask you that you pray for me and that you pray for the success of this broadcast in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, because I am perpetually praying for you, praying that you receive this word, this message from the Spirit of God as a confirmation to the instruction, to the revelation that he has already ministered to your own spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you.